of the executive staff. Thank you all for being here on such short notice for our new group. I'm really excited about the next year. We will start with pledges of allegiance. So if you're able to, please stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now roll call with Dave.
All right. We've got Charlene Ashendorf.
He is present.
All right. Meredith Cellini.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Absent.
Absent. And then Crystal Miles.
Present.
Rachel Owens.
I'm here.
Sandy Stan.
Present.
And Dave Tetzlaff. We have you for him.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I was commenting, and I just realized coming in that my world knows that I was thinking that we're setting precedent here. Got a board of all women except for one man. And that man serving in the secretary.
You're very modern.
But then I realized Jean is still on the board as immediate past president. So that ruins that.
Yes.
Maybe we'll take it up for next time.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Do we have any public comment?
No.
Office on Aging updates with Pauline.
Oh, where do I start? Area plan. So currently working on the area plan, which you guys all know what the area plan is. It kind of defines what our
survey is.
No. The area plan is something that we need to do every 4 years, and it kind of outlines, it's kind of like a roadmap that outlines all the services and programs that we provide, both contracted and non-contracted. Or direct, I should say. And we have to provide that to CDA every 4 years. And each year in between there, it gets updated. So we're now on a new cycle. So we're doing the 2024 to 2028 cycle. And it encompasses, like, it gives the report is super detailed because you've got to figure out, you got to give them a whole narrative about the general AAA area. And then you also have to give them a narrative about the Office on Aging and what that does, how it has been improving, how where the challenges are, what are the constraints, all of that good stuff. So it involves the whole department, you know, so, and then all of our program managers have to outline the number of units for each of their programs that they anticipate that they will meet in the next 4 years.
Number of units?
Yeah, because all the programs are kind of CDA reporting requires that you identify, like, for example, let's take an easy one, the meals, Meals on Wheels. So you have to give them an estimated number of meals that you will serve throughout the year, okay? And it has to be plus or minus 10%. So you can't, so you have to be fairly kind of within that range. If come next year, say we said we're going to serve like 300,000 meals or 500,000 meals, whatever the case may be, and the following year you serve like 700,000, that's a red flag because it's over like the 10% threshold. So you have to justify why that went up or vice versa, why it went down. If it went down, below the number.
Yeah, we have to do this in business too. It's
similar. Yeah. So it's a lot of detail. Getting it together, getting the four-year plan together is a challenge. Mm-hmm. The updates won't be that much of a challenge. But and of course, CDA has changed the format this year. They're looking for more information. And have they given us the guidance yet? No. So we're kind of by the seat of our pants.
Well, thank you for doing all that. That's a lot.
Yeah. So it will be coming to this committee, to the full SCAC council in... My goal is to bring it, I have to bring it in March.
And not a draft, but you're...
No, it will be a draft. It will be a draft. It will be kind of like we did the last time with the public hearing. So we will have the SCAC meeting, and then following that, we'll have a public hearing. And then once it's approved by the SCAC committee, then it goes to the board, and it'll go to the board first meeting in April. So, and the board has to approve it then. So,
is this a fiscal year? This is a calendar year?
No, it's calendar. So, yeah, so it's all fun and games. And alongside that, we've got the master plan on aging, for aging. So that's still just kind of plodding along with the surveys, waiting on those to come in. I'm anxious because I need the details from that survey for my area plan, you know.
Yeah, they all work together.
Yeah, the states, they did a statewide needs assessment for mm-hmm. all the counties. That the results of that just came out through a company called Voco. So I'm curious to see how it's going to balance with the one that we're doing. Our mm-hmm. one, I think, that we're doing for the master plan is going to be more in-depth. And I know for a fact that we have reached a lot more people than the state did, because the state did just a random sampling. And we got, I believe the number was 411 responses. That's it for the whole of Orange County. But they only targeted a certain amount of people. They didn't do the whole. The state.
Well, the different, yeah. They're doing like a sample size.
They are doing a sample size. Yes. Yeah, okay. So ours is a little bit more detailed. And I know we've met our threshold. We're actually over our threshold right now. So,
yeah, what was
the threshold? Was 2,000. So we're over our threshold right now. So
I think my wife just got it.
She got it in the mail?
Got it in the mail.
Okay, good. Good, good. So that's good to know.
It's 2001 now.
No,
we didn't.
Yeah.
Well, and well, I don't know if any of you care, but I was really impressed. OC, advanced OC?
Yeah.
Okay. I did that survey very early and I was, and I sent it to a number of my more affluent and engaged clients who all sent back to me the same kind of response that I had, which was, all this wants to measure is the poor and the negative and the problem, and there's no none of the above, or I don't have problems.
Things are okay.
Yeah. Things are okay. So it would have been a very unbalanced kind of survey. All you would have gotten would have been all of the negative and no input from people who felt, yeah, we're running our lives, we're enjoying the county, that kind of thing.
Sure.
They added those questions.
Good.
At least they told me they did.
That's great.
So the board was responsive to that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
yeah.
I don't know anybody else's.
Yeah,
so
no,
we
had,
we can't have all the complaints.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. We had received some complaints on that as well. And it was the same thing, you know.
Well, and
like,
it makes you feel like you're excluded.
Exactly.
When you're filling it out, it's like
it's targeted for
yeah.
a certain.
So yeah. This is the response
yeah.
you want. You don't
yeah.
really want to, you know, how many surveys do you do
yeah.
where you know what they're after?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
picking
that's
you on a road.
Cute. Yeah.
Well, we have, as I said, we've got our threshold right now and we've got a lot of it, but advancing OC is going back to make sure that we've got a good feel for the whole demographic population because, you know, we've got, I think, a big percentage was white response and then Hispanic and Asian and all the other demographics were a little low. So we want to kind of bring it up a little bit more
good.
Balanced. So we're reaching, that's what they're doing right now. They're reaching out. So that's it. That's my
thank
report.
You, Polly.
You're welcome.
All right, back to Dave for our SCAC attendance update.
For attendance update?
Yes.
Yeah, I got the attendance for the year now.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that I had a red flag for was Charlene. So I had to dump for 5 absences for.
I was in limbo
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah, yeah, and I knew
she was
but
not
because
in
we don't, but because we don't have excused or anything.
Yeah,
yeah,
I can't separate.
That's
them.
Okay.
I don't
take it personally.
No, that was.
And we have a fresh start next year, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I ask a question? So, does that include the standing committee attendance?
No.
Or
no.
Just the general.
No. Just general.
It's not required to go to the standing committee.
Okay. And you guys are aware there is no such thing as an excused absence. You're either there or you're not.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That makes
yeah.
They
no,
started
because I hear that a lot of people say an excused absence, and you know the bylaw says you're either there or you're not.
Right.
But somewhere in the middle, there has to be some common sense. You know, in terms of someone who has been on the committee for the longest time and attended, and then all of a sudden has to be gone for 4 or 5 months because illness, genuine like the illness.
Well, I'm referring more to Juno.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody knows.
Shut
up.
Yeah.
Pauline did give me almost the those that were either replaced, removed, and so on. So I have that, but that's...
That's maybe a good time to bring up that we had two requests yesterday for a roster for members so that we have each other's names, phone numbers, and emails. I'm not sure how that would work, but...
I can give you the roster. I'm hesitant about giving that roster.
Caveat.
I really am hesitant about giving that roster out.
Well, we had it out publicly for many, many years.
Yeah.
The stipulation is this is confidential and is not to be shared with anybody.
Or we could ask if anyone wants their name to be removed before it goes out.
Keep their name, but remove their information.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a roster that has all the names, names and emails, and that's it.
Yes, yeah, I want phone numbers. I don't have telephone numbers.
Oh, I like phone numbers and emails. Like when we wanted to talk to each other, I didn't have a phone number because I didn't ask her for it.
Well, I think there's a concern about brown.
There is.
People who don't realize that, like, I could email the whole board, and then if you reply, you reply, we've now broke brown. So maybe if we do give out, you know, a roster, there has to be a 5-minute training of. You cannot reply all, and I can't do a meeting, a conference, meaning I can't talk to you and then go, hey, that's what I talked to Charlene. And then now Charlene goes and talks to somebody else. And then, you know what I mean? So that serial meeting can't happen.
Yeah. I know when we get to California senior legislature, 40, 60 some people, it comes out with the warning that this is confidential. It's not supposed to be shared with any.
Oh, can you share that with us? And then I can use that word.
So you get the whole roster for 40 people?
Oh, or more, yeah.
And then you should be able to.
It's not reply all. You cannot reply all. It's for information purposes only. And it is confidential because it's personal. It's PII, you know. So,
well, it's PII and it breaks the brown.
And it breaks, yeah.
It's helpful to know, too, where person lives.
If that person wants to give you their individual address, they can do that.
Okay, so that would not be
I don't need that part. No, I'll give it a name.
So I like to
name, email, and telephone number. That will be the thing.
Looking in to go.
Mesa.
Where am I? Do you know?
For a while, we were told on the big committee that we should have a representative of each city.
Yeah.
And they were talking about putting it on our name tag, what do you call these placards, so that we could look around the room. And see. Because for a while, we had so many people from South County and not that many people from the north side.
Well, there's... There is a stipulation from CDA as to what the makeup of the organization needs to be and what demographics need to be identified in there. Like,
we'll talk on about that in January, okay. The recruitment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when the new bylaws come out, you'll all get a copy of the new bylaws. So it's all listed there.
Yes.
So
we need a family caregiver. That's one of our priorities. We don't have one right now.
We do. We have care.
You mean on the committee?
I didn't know that. Well, the executive committee needs a caregiver. Yeah, I'll be back. Someone that's involved in caregiving for an older adult.
Yeah.
Nichols? She caregives for her husband?
No, she does meals on wheels.
No, that's not a caregiver. That's not a caregiver.
Well, but she also does do personal visits.
She does homeless, too.
I know.
And it's not sponsored by an organization.
Well, yeah. It's not.
It's her own personal.
It's not the same as having a relative that you're actually responsible for, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think she might have hers because doesn't her husband have autoimmune disorder?
Yeah, he does.
On his Zoom or something.
He doesn't. I don't think he's left the home for years.
Oh, yeah. They went to Yosemite earlier.
Just the two of them.
Yeah.
I think that we should talk about our recruitment at the beginning of next year after the bylaws comes out so that we can round out our presentation.
I'm not sure if there's going to be a point to talk about the bylaws. I just got one question. People are asking, well, should the subcommittees be meeting? And we're saying, well, the bylaws are not out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, I'll bring it up later.
When we get to Okay. Anything else on attendance? We're good. Okay, so we'll move on to our discussion item number 7, which is our SCAC focus for 2024. I took some notes that I printed out for everyone. Gina and I were able to meet with four of the supervisors. Unfortunately, Sarmiento wasn't able to attend because of the test and fire. So instead of meeting with him, we met with two of his staffers but still had a really good conversation. So I just made some bullet points about what we talked about just briefly. If we start in the note section below, Supervisor Wagner was very brief. He wanted to know about what is happening with seniors. He said, don't sugarcoat things and not just tell us good things. We want to know what's really happening. He encouraged us to speak to the board using public comment time, their meetings, versus receiving a written report. He thought that would be more impactful so that they could hear things at the same time. And his staff person, Tara Campbell, attended the meeting, but she was off camera. When we met with Supervisor Chafee, he seemed to be really wanting written materials. He said that people don't know where to turn when they need help. So that was his.
Her magazine.
But yeah. So that was his feedback, which is good because most people still don't know where to turn. That's so right. That's valid. Supervisor Doe, we had a longer conversation with him. He really likes the term aging in place and wanted to focus on aging in place. He does have family caregiving experience with his mother-in-law, so it's always helpful when electeds have personal experience with older adults. He was really interested in adult day services and hearing more about those and how they might help caregivers in the aging in place. We talked about how Asian Americans are assimilating and no longer live with the families that they did in past generations, and so they're needing more community services than they may have in the past. His staffer, Hun Lee, attended. And they are open to meeting several times a year with staff. As I said, Supervisor Sarmiento was taken away by that horrible fire, but his staffers had read our 2022 report and their top two issues were transportation and support for caregivers. They do get requests from the public to help them on those two items, calls from the public. They would like a quarterly one-page type report from us instead of an annual longer report. They're interested in learning about the Caregiver Resource Center that's located in Fullerton. They had never heard of it. They're getting calls all the time for caregiver help. They were interested in contract mode for in-home supportive services, which basically means that instead of people on Medi-Cal having to hire their own in-home supportive services worker, there would be an agency that recruits, trains, and manages those workers. That was part of something that we talked about last year too. They were interested in our proposal on 5150s for older adults with dementia. They wanted to know how we could work with legislative aides to sponsor that issue in the future. They were open to considering county general funds for scholarships for caregivers to adult services, adult day services. That was one of our proposals from 2022. And they wanted to chat more, but Jean concluded the call. So they were really wanting to talk about in-depth policy issues, which was wonderful. And then we met with Supervisor Foley. Joni, who is her appointee, one of her appointees was also with us. Her top three issues are housing, caregiving, and transportation. So you can see we're getting a trend here. Also aging in place and affordability. Supervisor Foley does have a grandmother and a mother who are older adults that she helps care for, I believe. So
she does. Yes.
She had caregiving concerns with neighbors with dementia and hiring staff. In her past experience as an attorney, she had home caregivers that had sued her clients because of things that had occurred in the home, and she felt like maybe there was more education that could happen on that. Transportation, she was talking about the need for travel training so that people that are able to take public transportation but don't know how to do so could be trained on the fixed line routes. I think that already exists.
It does.
It most definitely does. We had somebody come
to that. Yeah. So again, we all don't know what's going on with the existing programs, right? Her staffer, Dixie, will attend our meetings. She was interested in legislative advocacy. She said that in her role as a supervisor, she realized that we don't have a lot of our own funding, that a lot of it comes from state federal governments, which we know. Yes, we know that. She knows that now too. She talked about the county grant writer and researcher. She wanted us to do a 5-minute PowerPoint presentation to the board
at their public meeting, but we would have to get Andrew Doe's permission, assuming that he's the next chairperson of the board. And she suggested that we start sending blurbs for her newsletter and other newsletters for supervisors. So that was really great. I think that we now have their attention, which is wonderful. They know who we are and what we're trying to achieve. We told them about the bylaws change coming. No one had any concerns with that. We told them about our name change. Everyone thought that was fine as well. So obviously we have an elephant now, right? But we can't deal with that whole elephant in 2024. So going back to the top of the paper, one of the things that we asked is that they each have a staffer attend our meetings. They all agree to that. So that'll be huge that they have policy people coming to our meetings.
Do they know when our meetings are?
They do know when our meetings are, but I told them that I would send the calendar. So I'm going to do that. Or maybe someone else on this committee can talk about that and help me, because this is going to be a lot of communication. So that's the first step, is getting the calendar meetings. I thought that maybe it would be better to send them Outlook invitations to whoever they designate, so it just appears on their calendar rather than having to shoot paper. And they were all excited to do that. But that puts more pressure on us to have really tight, meaningful meetings, right? Since this is something new, we want them to be intrigued in January or February, right? And then keep coming back. So I thought that... that's why I mentioned yesterday we should have less of a potpourri on our educational. We should really focus on the buckets that they've given us, which in my opinion are information and assistance for their offices and for the general public. People still don't know where to turn to get help. And Answers magazines is one component, but we really want people to be able to call the 1-800-510-2020 and talk to a professional person here and get the resources that they need. The other thing is we have all these transportation and options. I listed some of them that I know about: access, senior mobility, travel, training, health, and mental transportation. They are fragmented and people don't know how to access them.
And they're more fragmented because Medicare Advantage plans, almost all of them now offer 12 to 24 doctor visit rides.
Yeah.
But everybody uses a different system.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Humanus is different than Anthems, which is different than Atmos.
Yeah, and then some cities have deals too, where you can use rideshare for $2. But anyway, so you know, how do we level set on what we currently have for transportation? And does this really, again, mean that people need to call the information and assistance to know what's appropriate for them? And then aging in place and support for caregivers, I thought was a huge third bucket. We have the Caregiver Resource Center that is funded through the Office on Aging partially, that no one that we talked to in the supervisor's offices seem to know about. So I think we need to have them come give a presentation. We have Adult Day Services that is underfunded, but is a great resource for caregivers and for people living with dementia. There's caregiver supports. CalAIM, now CalOptima through CalAIM, can pay for respite services. The VA can pay for respite and aided attendance. So I thought, based on our conversations with the supervisors, that those were our three main buckets. And then the fourth bucket was senior affordable housing. But that seems so federally and state tied that I don't know if it's wise for us to try to talk about that when there's so much that we could do in the first three buckets.
Well, and also on that housing thing, on some of the speakers that we had, like your vets, you know, some of those housing issues could be remediated with the fact that they get money that they may not even know that they have coming to them. So if you have a vet that doesn't realize that they have access to vet services or back pay or, you know, whatever, they could end up getting money.
Which brings us back to information and assistance.
Yeah. And the same thing with like the Dale McIntosh Center and that the resource.
ADRC.
Yeah. You know, again, it may be that they need a house because the house won't work for them anymore, where they can just make those phone calls and have the house refitted, modified. Yeah.
I think that, yeah, I agree with all those things. I think that they were talking about having not enough housing stock, just in general.
Yeah.
So when you don't have enough housing stock, a lot of that comes from the 202 buildings for older adults that are very low income, but also our tax credits are from our treasurer's office in the state, and they don't set aside enough tax credits for senior housing. But that seems like something that we could do later on. I know that my company, Leading Edge California, we had a bill this year that did not pass to remediate that problem. We're going to be working on it next year, so maybe staff just wants to hear about that. I just don't know if it's wise for us to spend time on that this year. What do you all think?
Yep. You know, when people ask us, the number one thing we cannot affect is housing. We just can't do it. We can't do it at a city level. We can't do it at a county level.
Right.
It's got to come. And then we have the state who tells us that Irvine City Council is just railing over. The new goal for City of Irvine is 65,000 housing units, which is the same size as Westminster. That's all the housing that's in the whole city of Westminster. How is Irvine going to have 65,000 units? It just, there's a lot of disconnect for how much housing is being, much less how much is set aside for senior or low income. And that's just, it's absurd. So it's not an area I concur. It's not an area that we can.
We can acknowledge it, but we're not going to tackle it, right?
Well, and I think that, because I'll read the numbers, right? So the housing element update that every city's having. That is supposed to kind of encompass that.
Yes.
Because the senior citizens is one of those protected classes that qualify under the low income.
And it does seem that these top three or four, the top three are something that we can really embrace.
Yeah.
It seems to me, if my memory serves me right, and I think the same would be true of 5-10-2020, that years ago, when the campaign was released for 211, the entire state got behind that and the county got behind it. And sheriff's departments were putting on public meetings, and it had a lot of focus. And it seems that I and A would be very easy to wrap our hands around.
Exactly.
That just seems so easy. People, I mean, I heard this number yesterday for the first time. So I might have been living under a rock, but I still know 211.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of concept that I think we can really push forward with success.
I think so, too. And I think that it would be really meaningful for the staff at each of the supervisor's office to not be doing casework when they already have this resource.
Exactly.
Within their county. And then also, you know, the other unmet need that I see on Facebook a lot is people my age in their 40s and 50s trying to arrange services for their parents, and they have no idea. I have no idea where to start, and they just ask these, you know, complicated questions about what they can do for X, Y, and Z, and then people just will comment. No one knows that these information and assistance are available. You guys have a shaky table?
Yeah, every time. I think they're all shaking, right?
No, this one's good.
We're solid, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, lean on it, and it comes out.
Okay. So then the brainstorming part of this is, how did the themes of INA, transportation options, and aging in place for support for family caregivers, how do they lead us to our educational calendar and guests, our outreach, our senior center conversations, and our follow-up with the Board of Supervisors? And I'm sorry, INA?
Information and assistance. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure.
More acronym.
That's what I
need
in my life. I feel like it's such a
trick
question. What do you mean?
How do I think? Well, do we want to have a person come and talk about,
yes.
Artwork again? I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Not in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not in this scheme, and what we had started planning for next year probably won't fit either, because I was going to have, I can't think of her name, but she comes from the Asian Senior Center, but it's not just for Asians. It used to be in the beginning, but it's not anymore. And hers was more about the emotional problems with aging. So that probably wouldn't fit in this, would it? And then also to cause more trouble, what about if we lose our subcommittees, are we, because in the olden days, we had to have half to speak in the housing trust, half had to do housing and half had to do transportation. So if we get rid of those committees, are we still committed?
No.
No, okay.
I think that we need to feel like we're having something concrete to achieve next year.
Yeah.
And that it's worth the while of the supervisor staff.
Well, I think the greatest accomplishment was that you met with every supervisor.
That is
absolutely stellar. They needed
to hear from this organization what we do and who we are. I think that was hats off to you, to the moon and back.
Thank you. And to Jean as well.
Exactly. Yes. But the reality is, part of the planning in my mind would be, okay, so what's realistic as far as addressing the supervisor?
Yes.
Coming every month, maybe not necessary. But I like the idea of maybe something quarterly update to them so that we can, you know, we say, okay, by March, we're ready to show them something. You just don't want to go and say, hi, we had a meeting and we talked about, you know, 50-2020 or whatever that number, 510-2020, I'll learn that. But I think establishing what we want to meet with them quarterly or whenever that would be.
Or if we want to do public comment.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Whatever it is, but that's, we should commit to that, to them, I think.
Hey, Rachel has thoughts, I can see.
Well, one of my big frustrations since joining this committee actually revolves around what we hear from Claudia in the way of the Office on Aging, right? Okay, so an RFP is going out. How much is that RFP worth? What kind of funding is going out into the community and how many responses in what areas do we think we're going to get? Because I think the supervisors don't know that either. I don't think anybody really knows that either. So it always leaves me with, I don't have enough information. I feel like our, not just here, but the group's purpose is oversight and disseminating information. So having a focus on what we're going to reach. But a lot of that has to do with what is happening in the county by staff with the programs that are happening around us. And are those programs effective? And, you know, we're about to go to the next plan here, the next area plan. Is anything being dropped because it wasn't effective? That got
a lot of it is mandated by the Older Americans Act, so there's not a lot of wiggle room.
Some of that is true, but how that all integrates. And then here we're doing this advanced OC survey. What are we going to do with this information? What's driving it? Where is that information? What public policy is that information or conclusions going to drive? And it's almost backwards. We're still working on the survey, but now you're going to do an area planning and the RFP is opening and we're going to do funding requests. But
well, the RFP is set in stone, in my opinion.
I can't. It's just very frustrating.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me correct just one thing you said there. You said that the Board of Supervisors doesn't know anything about the RFP. That's incorrect. That's totally incorrect. They have to approve. There's an approval process, a huge approval process for that RFP to go out. And there's a lot of work that goes into establishing it.
I'm sure.
You know.
I know.
So, I just want to make sure that it's not the Office on Aging that's driving all of this. There are several federal state laws that drives what we have
to do. It's very concrete.
It's So, in terms of the area plan, we're waiting on the results of the needs assessment survey to be able to put in and show, you know, what's working, what's not working, what the constraints are, you know, in the area plan. So that information is still in the works. When we get the needs assessment, what do we do with it? You know, we have to develop a master plan for aging. So there's talks going on through all the departments that are involved, SSA, HCA, CEO's office, Office on Aging, talking about when we get the results, who's going to put this plan together? What's the plan going to entail? You know, and a lot of that will be driven by what comes back in the needs assessment.
And that's absolutely appropriate. So as a big group, don't we want to know or understand that information?
I'm interested in the master plan personally. I'm less interested in the area plan because I see it as being very prescriptive based on the Older Americans Act.
Can I add kind of to three little points? I agree again back to one of my criticisms was that, you know, great information that never got disseminated. So I think we're addressing that, and the bylaws is a good way to demonstrate that, et cetera, et cetera. Having the supervisors' staff attend, I think, is fantastic. And then
to the point of whether it's the master plan, the area plan, maybe we use that data. We use that data to be able to, because Rachel's got a point, you know, are things getting dropped? Do we need to boost other things? Let's take that data and use that to write a prescription on being able to, which programs we're going to be able to address and bring awareness or focus on, because the master plan demonstrated this, or the area plan is showing.
See, I don't think that that's a possibility, though, for the first half of next year.
Well, can I jump in for a second?
Yes.
Then someone just explained to me, promotion of information on the assistance center at the Office on Aging is needed. How are we going to do it? Who's going to do it? And what's the mechanism by which we're going to do that? What does that mean?
I can tell you about that.
Okay.
So for me, that means that we would get the written information that Monica had at the senior summit and give it to each of the supervisors. We would make sure that their staff was educated on the information assistance line. We would talk about this at all of our senior center visits. And for me personally, I'm going to start promoting it more online so that people know. But I mean, we need to talk about this, I think, as a larger step. If we all agree, this is what we want to focus on next year.
I could certainly see myself adding that to my email signature that goes that I use for this communication, if that's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. Now we've got 40 people who are promoting that in a better, more full way. And you said Monica has some kind of report. Okay, where's that report?
No, not a report. It's a sheet.
Okay.
Yeah.
What Monica, what are we talking about?
From the senior summit.
Yeah.
I had outreach material.
Yeah. It was a brochure.
Yeah. I have the Office on Aging has brochures.
Yeah.
Information and assistance on a
branch. Mm-hmm. Right.
Resources.
There's a bunch of them out front.
So I still think we need to involve the city councils. Or the city managers for the cities, because that is a great platform too. And so to the point of promotion, yeah, it's about disseminating the information. Even with the board of supervisors, remember each supervisor has, you know, underneath him or her 5, 6, 7 cities, right? So they may, and for say some of the smaller cities whose voices aren't very loud versus some of the larger cities, or sometimes maybe the information isn't passed on as effectively. So somehow drawing in or including the city councils and or city managers, even if it's part of the report.
Well, we could ask the senior center liaisons to also send information to the city manager.
Well, so if you do a quarterly report for the supervisors, then just tack on all the city managers the city managers have a monthly meeting, I think it's monthly, where all the city managers get together and maybe a quick presentation to them saying, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're about. These are our goals. We're going to be sending you a quarterly report on all, you know, some important information that if you would please, because the city managers at every city council give an update, right? It's an informational update. So he or she could at that point give the information, and then you send it with, here's a flyer for this, a flyer for this, a flyer for this, please include this in your weekly newsletters or on your website, and start including them in the conversation. And that's what I do as a city council person, and our feeder gets it, our website gets it, I chat about it.
So do you take any of the things we talk about, chat, to your?
Everything.
You do?
Everything, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Dave. Any comments? I'd love to hear from you.
This is getting far out of realm from what this committee has done before. And I like the ideas, I like the presentation and the direction that we're heading, because we've got to get better communicated with our board of supervisors, with our local elected public officials. And so the direction I think we're heading is fantastic. It's going to be challenging, because it's getting out of our mold, our normal mold, but that's fine, because we're not making much progress under the old process. The best experience and the most enlightening experience I have had with SCAC, indirectly with SCAC, so I had the opportunity to sit on an RSP RFP concept.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would highly recommend that if you have not done that.
I've done it.
Because you realize the organizations, the nonprofits supporting Orange County are fantastic. They know what they're doing. They've got the expertise. Funding is always going to be a problem. And that is the challenge that they all face. But the process of being a member of one of those panels for the RFP isn't lengthy. And that was very important to me to go through that process. It's time consuming for a short period of time, but it's very rewarding in the end. And the nonprofits, they are well organized, they have expertise that's unbelievable, and the support that they get from their board of supervisors, their officers, and so forth, seem very satisfying to me. It's but working for a nonprofit for decades, funding is always a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
That is the critical thing, and how we communicate is challenging. So I like the direction that we're looking at heading, but it's not going to be without its bumps and valleys and peaks.
Just like life, right?
But you know, that's how progress is made. You're not going to have success without finding out where the bottom is.
And the one thing that impresses me, and I didn't mean to give an impression that it's anything else, but the results of this Office on Aging and the effect that we have in the communities is pretty tremendous. Mm-hmm. And the constraints that the feds and the state
yes.
put on everybody is just enough to make you go crazy, but commend you for doing it at all.
I know Meredith wants, I know you want to be effective, and I'm very methodical in how I think. So we just spoke about doing possibly a quarterly report to the Board of Supervisors. Does everyone think that's a good idea?
I'd like to use that for my senior center, for the city manager, and for the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, so who's going to take charge of putting that together?
I would like to come up with a template for it and then bring it back to the group.
I think that's, you know, that's what, for example, Supervisor Foley does every month. Well, actually, she works 25 hours a day, but every week she has a report like that she emails to her constituents, and it's broken down by issues.
It's a newsletter. Yeah.
And so it really is a template that you're addressing.
I think that we need to come up with a template, and also we have the ad hoc committee that we yeah. talked about, and maybe the ad hoc committee wants to be involved in coming up with a template too.
Certainly Dave Wheeler said, okay, when are we meeting for that?
I know. Because so. I think that's our next, I mean, if you want to continue on with that path, I think that would be great if the ad hoc committee wants to look at it too, look at what other newsletters have. It needs to be very brief. Everyone mm-hmm. has about 30 to 60 seconds of attention span.
Right.
What ad hoc committee are you talking about?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, ad hoc committee, because I'm not aware of
that. You know, when we were meeting, not last time, but the time before, during the bylaws discussion, we also had an ad hoc committee that was suggested. Rachel was going to chair it, and Dave and Joni and other people had volunteered.
Right.
You guys nodded your head during that time.
No, I remember.
Yeah.
But what was it going to be about?
Communication with the supervisors.
Yeah, but we had six areas that are goals within the bylaws. So how do we translate that? So now again, we're going back to here. We have these six goals and bylaws.
We're not doing all of that anymore.
And we can't do all of that. So that has to be narrowed down.
Yeah.
And then this has to be narrowed down.
And I remember that discussion. I just wasn't clear on
Did we actually get that far? Maybe we.
It wasn't officially.
It wasn't
officially. No, it's going to be officially.
I get that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good place to start.
But I think that we need to bring this a general stack after we have our discussion today, right?
Yes.
Then the ring.
Yes.
So we have the task force committee.
Yeah.
Review and set up a template for
yeah.
how to communicate. And I think.
And then everyone can use that with all their senior centers, their cities.
That's helpful for me.
Yeah.
One of the things that I miss, boy, am I getting myself involved, is minutes. You know, you could go back from meeting to meeting, you could look at the minutes, you could see what transpired. But now, when you're going to do that, you got to go online or go into the website and listen to the audio. And so a newsletter is even going to be helpful for us to be able to better communicate.
I think our challenge is going to be that we all want to do so many things that it's going to be hard to just focus on it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And
yeah.
I mean, the bylaws, I just heard you say that, well, we're not going to do all those, the bylaws. the purposes that are outlined there, it has to be tied back into that in some way, shape, or form. And as the master plan for aging is coming forward, even when I presented the bylaws, the questions I got from here to staff was, or from staff was, how does this tie into the master plan for aging? How does this kind of roll into like their role as an advisory committee? Are they focusing on the things that everyone's going to be focusing on? You know, so I think for the purposes of, I like the INA, I like the template, I like the, you know, the fact that yes, go ahead and we should be reporting not only to Board of Supervisors, but there should also be a copy of that report needs to go to OOA as well. So Office on Aging needs to go to Claudia, needs, you know, and I
part of the process.
Do I understand you correctly, Meredith, when you say a template to be distributed to every one of the members so that they can kind of update what they're doing? Or
no.
Okay, good. So I'm seeing a free for all. I'm like, oh my god.
No. I think that we want it to look nice and to have the same look every time. So we need to decide what is it going to look like.
I agree.
It needs to have one page. It needs to be in 14 or 16 point font. Like we need to have a style guide.
And so you would say something like for instance, if we chose the three like information assistance center, and then you'd say blah 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 blah, and then it would say like the next one would be transportation options.
Yeah.
Anything related to that would be in that section.
Right.
The last one would be aging and planning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
The template you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Everything would always fall into those
three buckets.
Right.
But it would be signed by each of the 40 members with the relationships that we're building in the senior center or in the city or at the county. I mean, so that when my city manager sees that from me, she will know. Oh, yes. Okay. It's not like she doesn't know you, Sandy, for example.
No,
so
we would all distribute it with our personal network.
So that's the purpose of the template.
No, yes. I like the template. I would also add another category that says other, because I don't think we're going to go through the whole year just but
no.
We're going to get a lot of the stuff that's already, you know, INA maybe 3 months, 4 months out of the year. And then it's like, okay, we've done what we can on that. Now what do we do? You know, so, and it's going to be a working document, you know, so it will be, you know,
constantly. And INA, to answer your other question, INA helps us in all of the things in our bylaws because people need to know where to get to all of those services.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem there is.
I do think that ADRC, that presentation that
yes.
you have, would be invaluable.
I do too.
Absolutely
yeah,
invaluable.
Ruth Chow.
Yeah.
And the veterans presentation.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was really good. Those two stood out to me.
And he said that he would come back.
Yeah.
We asked him, we said, this is so great. We need you to come with General Stack. We know you're busy. Would you, if we gave you enough, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so are we agreed as an executive group that we're going to propose at our January meeting that our overall themes and idea of the template?
Yes, including the other though, because I do want to say that sometimes I think we might, for instance, like remember get set up, you know, get set up or whatever, that was great. And there's still people that use it in my community. So
where would that fall under here, right?
So just call it resources.
Yeah, so
yeah, it's better than other.
I think that would be good.
Resources, that's good.
But those are important. And even a little jab, like with the presentation we had yesterday with the art and communication, I actually went home and talked about it with my kids and my husband and told the story about, you know, the gentleman with the R and the circles, and they, all three of them, were like, wow, Mom, that's heavy.
It kind of gives you a better insight into, because when I hear the word Alzheimer's or dementia, I think that people are, you know, it goes beyond being forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no one home. And it was encouraging to see that, well, there's something there. They just have a hard time expressing it. It was hopeful.
Yeah.
It was very, very hopeful.
And I think that if we want to go to presentations like that, that we'll do that at our senior center, right?
Good. Yeah.
Because we're going to be more focused on the less, I guess, interesting, fun things for a few months at least.
Well, maybe for a few months, but maybe later on in the year, we could say, like, well, we've got some extra time.
Yeah,
or,
we'll see.
You know,
yeah.
We could add some of those.
Did you put anything up here on? No, you didn't. Never mind. I was just talking, thinking legislation. So next meeting in January, we normally have a presentation from OOA on what we all do, what we're all doing. Is that something that's still of interest, or is something we should? I think we should do it.
Yes.
I think we should know what's going on. Yeah, but there, we do have some new members as well that I think will benefit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck Pointer and I were talking about.
You're not saying.
I think it's a. It has to be done, but it's very dull.
I get that.
Yeah. But for the new people, especially, it's like, I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Being able to work.
But I agree. 40 minutes is maybe too long.
Do they know?
Yes.
Right.
So did they look at our legislative content?
Yeah, because we need to discuss all of this.
Yeah. So could we shorten that to about 20 minutes?
Sure can. Great.
And then would you point, you're looking at a March meeting being your area plan draft.
Yeah, but that it'll be after. It's not part of SCAC. So SCAC will do its regular meeting as normal, and then we will schedule a public hearing immediately following whatever time that
is,
like we did with you.
Yes.
Well, so if we're going to do the roster idea, is it possible to put like a 5-10 minute brown act kind of, you know what I mean? If we're doing the roster in January, I think it's important that we have something said about this.
Could you put the disclaimer like at the top or at the bottom?
Either disclaimer, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Say it out loud very clearly.
Don't we have to have our yearly meeting?
Yes. So we can do the roster and talk about it at the same time.
Yeah. Because I think Office on Aging does a presentation.
We did last year. We brought in our attorney to talk about.
It's been like that every year that I've been part of SCAC.
Yeah.
The Brown Act.
Yeah.
You know. But we can do that.
I'm sleeping. It's a little dull.
You know,
tell him to remember the 5 B's. Yeah.
How about keep it simple?
Yeah. Kiss.
Drop it. Drop the last S.
All right. Well, thank you for your feedback on this. We'll have to keep revisiting it.
Well, this was great that you were able to make the
Yeah. And the door is open. So we'll see how this develops. Okay, so now we're on to action items, a SCAC appointment. Cynthia Thacker has been applied to be part of SCAC and Wellbeing Reimagined. The recommendation is to review and approve her membership for SCAC for a term ending December 31st, 2024, and her appointment to the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I am friends with her. Should I recuse myself?
So, no.
Okay.
Just full disclosure.
Not a discussion.
Yeah, so any discussion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about her?
She's a citizen of Buena Park.
Okay.
She has been on the SCAT committee before. One thing to be aware of is that she was the senior citizen liaison, and she quit via email because she said she was going to be traveling and didn't give us much notice.
Yeah.
And is very interested in rejoining.
Perfect. So this is the first
model mentorship. Or is it okay?
And that was the question. So this is one of those 10 community 20 people.
20.
20. 20. That's 20.
Yeah.
Remember. Yes. And how empty are we?
We have 28, I think, on the
out of
29.
Oh, it's already gone. It's going to be 28.
28
yeah.
out of 40.
Out of
40.
Yeah.
And all the supervisors have appointed their 10,
mm-hmm.
I believe. I'm not sure about city selection committee. I think there may be, I'm not sure if their 10 slots have all been allocated, and then the remainder would be out.
And I'm not going to start recruiting professionals until our bylaws are completed, because I don't want to explain the whole thing.
Question.
Yes, so we need to take a vote.
We have a motion on the floor in a second.
Yeah.
All those in favor.
Aye. Now we can ask you, how do you know Cynthia?
Well, I met her through here.
Oh, okay.
And then we just, kind of became friends and support some of the similar electeds along the line.
All right.
We see her at different events.
Okay, cool.
So.
All right.
Monica, we'll still be at 29. Because Cynthia will go on to Tony of Moss.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll produce a list for January 1st. That you present to me.
So you can talk.
Could you send me that list, including what of the three they represent? It's in the city.
What is
supervisor? I can. I would like that also. Okay. So item number 9, chair report. So Gene had to be away today, unfortunately, but he will be back as our past chair joining us, which is great. We got the update on the bylaws yesterday, so hopefully they will be coming right along. And we can stand down the committees, but in the meantime, we need to figure out what to do. So I'm going to hop to item number 10. We need to have temporary chairs for well-being and housing and transportation. So I wanted to ask both of our prior chairs who you might be able to tap to kind of convene the meetings until our bylaws are chaptered.
Well, Crystal's willing to do the housing transportation because before it was 2 interns.
She can't.
You can't.
Because she's on executive committee.
And me.
Yeah, they both cannot. So we need
people
that are not in this room.
Well, my question is, the bylaw originally was presented to this committee. That's not the FSA. And then approved by the board of supervisors, correct?
That hasn't been approved by the board of supervisors.
Never got to the board of supervisors.
It will at the end of January.
I mean, first or wrong.
Well, yeah, we have a set of bylaws in place right now.
We're going by the bylaws
right now. When we got the original copies of the bylaws in September,
mm-hmm.
that was just,
that
I thought
just
it had been
scan.
Approved by the Office on Aging. Which then had it approved by the board of supervisors.
It hasn't been approved. It's been approved.
It's never reached the board of supervisors.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
I know what you were going to go with.
Yeah, because
you were gonna
the
say
board of supervisors have already seen it.
Yeah, why you can go with,
why are we having the
right.
committee
meeting in January?
Right.
Everyone's
right.
We know what she's going to
say. No, I gotcha.
And then my thought, well, it's temporary. So they have the existing chairs just chair the meeting. It's only going to be one or two meetings. And
yeah, well,
himself as vice chair with no chair.
They'll be out of compliance with the bylaws, of the current set of bylaws, if they do that.
Be out of correct.
And, the
Nathan.
Current.
I'm going to throw Nathan Steele.
Nathan in your committee?
Yeah.
Can you ask him to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so Nathan, and can you ask in your committee?
I guess I'll ask Dave Wheeler, who's been the most engaged.
Okay, great. And you guys you can still come to the committees. Yeah, you're still going to be there.
Oh,
committees.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, but you're just not going to chair.
Okay.
You probably have to go. No.
There's no attendance requirement.
No. There's no attendance requirement for subcommittees, which is.
They told us there was.
No, there is not. It's just the standard general committee. And I've taken off, there's a lot of people. I just went through the Wellbeing Reimagined roster this morning, and
there's
one other one. I just scratched. People who have not been here in a whole year are gone.
I would also like to encourage everyone, and I'll do this at my meeting, to invite people that are not members of SCAC to apply.
Yeah.
At the last few standing committees.
Yeah, Wellbeing, Tara Siegel.
Tara.
Yeah, she's really...
She's my friend, I recommend her.
Yeah, she's very good, and she's come to all the meetings pretty much.
All the Wellbeing.
So,
yeah,
if she's interested and has the time to serve on SCAC, I think
she
would be a good one.
She volunteers at our... We go to the same church, and we have a senior group of about 100 seniors, and she volunteers with them.
So I'm just...
I'm the one that got her on the Wellbeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, then rather than ask Dave, I think I'll reach out to Tara.
And she pronounces it Tara.
Tara.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
I got to be chair a couple of months
and to apply. Yes. She got, to be honest, she got confused about the different upstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did.
I can't imagine why she got confused.
Okay, great. So let me know how that goes. Crystal and Rachel, so that we'll be in good standing. And John, I think, will be pleased.
Well, he's temporary.
To do two more months.
Temporary.
Yeah, he's
year.
Been temporary
yes.
the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any other standing committee updates besides that. So now we are getting to the close of our agenda. Item number 11, announcements. Does anyone have an announcement?
Well, it looks like I can't make the March 22nd. Thank you. Okay, so just that one meeting, I guess.
March 22nd.
Yeah.
I went home and wrote them all in my new calendar.
Oh,
that's your birthday?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
I'll tell you about many decades, centuries.
My milestone birthday is March 7th, 2050.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And that was in that one.
Piker. It's called a Piker.
Any other announcements?
Just FYI, I haven't checked the dates, but we're going to be on February 27th through March
18th, 19th.
So. Okay.
I haven't even set. It's sitting on my desk.
I haven't even been in the office. And next time we have our executive committee, we can talk about more about what our at-large members would be interested in doing. So, three of you.
The asterisks on the state phone.
The asterisks.
Where it's
it has been changed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't build it into your
there
calendar.
There's only 3 months.
Well,
I think it was January, February, and September.
Yeah,
we had to switch. Yeah, January, February, and September. We had to switch.
Holly, can I get just a clean document with just this larger so I can send it to the board?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah, just the SCAC general
right.
meetings.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And maybe we could just, if it's not too much trouble, you put Easter Seal's address right under it. That would make it plain for them.
So we think it's just the January meeting that the subcommittees
do? I think so. We're on track. We are definitely 23rd of January.
Okay.
That's when it's going up. So that being the case, then our first meeting of February would be SCAC general meeting, at which point we would stand down.
Right.
The three.
February 9th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then hopefully people will have more time to engage in their communities.
If they have something to do.
They do.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
So you were then, excuse me, at that meeting, I think it'd be good for the new people. And me, I'm always new. It seems I'm trying to catch up with it. Seems, I started and then it was changing and now we're changing again. So I'm really on a slow train learning curve. But to review some of the highlights of the bylaws at that meeting, because there are new people who will not have seen that. Like
everyone will get, once the bylaws have been officially adopted, everyone on the committee will get a copy of it.
That's great.
Was there any other major changes done in October?
No.
We got into it September. I was back like there, but...
we still love you, dude.
Still, but then in October, I wasn't there, so I was just wondering.
There wasn't any major changes.
Just
cleaning up. It was just cleaning up some areas.
Okay.
They clearly proposed changes, and it was not accepted.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
all right. Meeting adjourned.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Okay. So, before I let you welcome them, I don't have a subject for well-being for January.